Hi, my name is Katarin.
And my name is Rett.
Welcome to Talent Hub Podcast. Today we have an exciting episode lined up and we go into topics to talk about digitalization in HR. Today's episode is brought to you in collaboration with PARE, the Estonian HR Association, as they gear up for the annual conference that's happening in April. They recommended us today's guest. Anna Kau is set to be one of the keynote speakers at the PARE yearly conference this year. So Anna Kau is the Chief People Officer at Telenor, one of the Sweden's leading telecommunication companies with a track record of leadership roles in known corporations like Ericsson and H&M. Anna has always championed equal opportunities for employees and initiated several digitalization activities. Hello, Anna.
Hello.
Nice to speak with you today in here. And we would like to know you a bit more before we dive into the topics that we have today. So, Anna, would you mind giving us a brief introduction about yourself? Something in addition what we just mentioned about you.
Of course. But first, thanks for having me on your podcast. So who am I? I am a curious person, a mother of two, married to an HR entrepreneur living in Sweden. And I have been working with HR for plus 15 years now in different industries and roles. And I love building and renovating things. So when I'm not working or handling the kids, I just love to renovate and do the problem solving and see how things comes to life. So that's a little bit who I am.
Oh, that's great. 15 years in HR field. So what drew you into the HR field initially and what have continued to drive your passion in the field?
I mean, from the very beginning, I actually started to study law at the university, but very soon I realized that that was not my cup of tea. I'm a person who is very interested in people, behaviors, and how to create environments that get the best out of people. So since then, I then found the area of HR and have been working with it since I graduated. And I constantly strive to explore how to develop new ways of working or initiatives that drive the people engagement at the workplaces I have been working at.
That's great. And then we will definitely hear more about everything what you have done and what you're doing later in the podcast. But you already mentioned something besides your LinkedIn profile, but is there anything else that you're passionate about? Or do you have any interesting hobbies besides the things you mentioned already?
Yeah, during summertime, I love barbecuing. So at our house, my husband is not even allowed to come near the grill. I would love to like cook everything on the grill and the barbecue during summer. And to me, it's like meditation. I mean, you have to be so focused on getting that perfect surface on the meat or the fish. So you can't get distracted. So to me, that's really a relaxation and vacation to spend that time with the grill and make some great foods to the family and friends.
Oh, well, that's a great addition. So PARE conference that's happening in Estonia, we should have after event with you and when you're barbecuing maybe. So we could give the tip to the PARE. Yeah, or next time at least, we know that.
Yes. Hi, Anna, from my side as well. Very nice to have you here in our podcast. So Katarina was definitely very optimistic that we're going to cover everything that you've been doing in 15 years. Unfortunately, our podcast probably won't be that long. But what we are interested today is about digitalization in HR. I mean, it's been very popular, like a term, I would say, even last 20 years already. So, Anna, what are the trends that you see in digitalization in HR today?
Today, I mean, everyone is talking about AI, and I think we have seen a very small portion of what generative AI can contribute with since the launch of ChatGPT 1.5 years ago. And I definitely think that the opportunities for reshaping HR operation in particular in future is enormous. So I think we will see and anticipate a lot of focus on AI and taking one example, I mean, everyone that has been worked with recruitment knows how time consuming it can be to receive hundreds of applications, and chatbots for candidate interaction has been used for at least 10 years now. But yet, I don't think we have experienced the greatness of what AI can enable within the field of recruitment. So, I mean, take all the expert AI to provide quick and efficient resume screening, but AI will soon enter and provide sophisticated candidate matching as well, I think. Having AI joining your recruiters to learn from them in their actual interviews and then learn from the selection being done afterwards, I'm sure AI will be able to conduct conversational interviews with your candidates as part of the process. And that is really cool. And I happened to see a clip just a few weeks ago from Tesla, where they have an AI robot calling customers that has been visiting their showrooms, prospecting of buying a Tesla car. Then the Tesla robot call these individuals up afterwards, having conversations with them on why they're interesting or not interested to buy the Tesla car. So that really was an eye-opener to me, that what AI can contribute with having conversations with candidates, for example, in interview processes. So that is something I am very excited to see the development of, and I think we can anticipate that in just a few years' time.
What a great example of Tesla. It's been, I think it's been like a fear of recruiters that they will be replaced in one day. And it's been like 20 years that one day they're going to lose their jobs. So is it actually now going to happen, or how do you see the recruiter a role in this AI world?
So I definitely think that AI will be a complement in our recruitment processes, but still there will not be a replacement of the human connection, because I don't think any candidates on the market would like to join a company with not even have a conversation with the people actually working there. But I think from both end that it could be a great complement, both from a candidate perspective, but also from the recruiters, that they can actually spend qualitative time where they can create the most value to the candidate and not maybe spending the time on searching and screening resumes or in the selection process. So I think it will be a win-win, but we will never be able to sort of resolve the human connection.
I absolutely agree with you, and I will always be on the side that there is always human touch is needed. But can you see any like a downside of this massive AI coming to HR, not only in recruitment, but HR generally?
I mean, the downside, you mean downside of having a lot of AI?
Yes, and like, I mean, is there something that we should be afraid of? Something like GDPR topics or something else, like something that maybe we don't even think of today, but can be threat to you?
I think we need to be mindful of the candidate or employee experience that we really would like to provide. So when considering bringing AI tools or systems into your processes, you still need to have that holistic view of the full experience journey you would like to provide to your candidates or to your leaders or employees. I mean, for example, a lot of customer services today are based on voice recognition system robotics. So you're calling your insurance company, for example, and you need them to use your voice for them to guide you right. And I actually ended up in that trap a few weeks ago, where I called a customer service with my issue, and the insurance company used a voice recognition system only. So I ended up in a loop of doom where I couldn't come through with having someone helping me or guiding me to solve my problem. And I think it's the same for HR or in any field when taking AI into consideration. So what type of journey are you building, and where can you ensure that you provide the needs where you maybe need or strongly prefer to talk with a human for a certain situation or a problem? And if you don't have that holistic view, I think you can end up in a very bad experience, like for myself with the insurance company. I actually felt after hanging up on that call, didn't have the support I needed, that I wanted to change insurance company because they couldn't provide the experience I needed.
Okay, yeah, that, I mean, definitely that can be one of the threats that can happen in a different process. But now we were looking already in the future. Let's not worry too much about the future. Hopefully it will be bright and full of opportunities in HR and AI. But when looking back, you've been in HR for over 15 years. Maybe you can talk a little bit about the projects, digitalization projects you have done and have maybe changed a lot everyday work.
I have not been part of that many, but I have one project in particular that I am both proud of, but also have a very strong connection to Estonia. And that was a few years ago when I worked at Ericsson. I was heading up the people function for supply chain production and logistics, and we were building a brand new factory in Dallas, Texas, in a market where we didn't have a factory at the moment. So this was going to be the first one. And we needed to onboard a lot of employees before the factory was even up and running. And having that situation of you have no peers, you have no environment to learn from, and we couldn't afford to fly our newly hired employees to the other factories that we had in the world, in China or in Estonia, for example. So then we decided to, okay, but then we need to use the digitalization and the technology that we have. So then we created a virtual reality onboarding where we more or less had a 360 filming of the factory in Tallinn, and we had our head of operation in the Tallinn factory to join in real time the pre-recorded films of the Tallinn factory in virtual reality. So we then had newcomers sitting in Dallas, joining with their VR glasses, feeling that they were landing on the factory floor in Tallinn, talking with the head of operation, and had their onboarding on the different assembly stations, on sort of the history of the factory in Tallinn, and also the greatness of the collaborations that we needed to do going forward between the new factory in Dallas and also the factory in Tallinn. So that was not only very cost efficient, it was also a project where we provided that employee experience of joining a super high technology factory in Dallas, which is not even ready or built yet, but still we were able to onboard them in their coming environment that they were going to work in. So that was a super cool project.
Oh, wow. And what year was it?
When was it? This was 2019.
It's already 5 years from now, and then I believe many listeners of our podcast are thinking that they haven't even thought of this this kind of onboarding. But so, what were the results?
The results was actually something I'm very proud of, because from idea to launch of onboarding the first employees in virtual reality was only 6 weeks. And then we measured their onboarding experience with a traditional survey with specific questions related to both the employee experience they have had having an onboarding in virtual reality, but also if they were able to learn through this social learning setup as well. And out of the first 50 people joining, we had a net promoter score of 8 out of a scale of 10. So that is more or less everyone endorsing the experience that they had.
I'm just wondering, was it higher or lower than maybe onboarding in Tallinn or in China?
We didn't have that comparison, so actually I don't know.
Cool. It sounds sounds great result for sure, and 6 weeks.
It was a crazy project.
How many people were involved in the project, and maybe where this idea came from as well?
The idea, I actually popped myself on an airplane flying from a startup meeting of the project team building the factory with the clear expectation on HR need to provide this great technology experience that we had as an ambition to provide to the employees working in this new smart factory in Dallas. So I think it was when I was sitting on the airplane, having that distance between Tallinn and also Dallas on how to close that gap, that I was just like, but we can use virtual reality for them, transferring people virtually when we can't transfer them physically through an airplane.
Great. I mean, if someone of the listeners wants to do exactly the same thing, what kind of tips would you share with them? What to take with your experience? Maybe some tools that you used or something else to bear in mind when doing exactly the same thing in their company?
I think don't be afraid of test and learn and fail. I didn't know anything about virtual reality. I just had an idea. And then we made sure to create a strong project team with people from communication, from learning, from IT, and then also the vendor, of course, providing the software platform for virtual reality. So we all sort of brainstormed together and listed the pitfalls and the project plan that we needed to have in place to create the product and the virtual reality onboarding that we aimed for. So we did a lot of failures, but we also learned along the way, and we managed to launch it in 6 weeks' time.
Yeah, and you already mentioned the human touch part, and I also wanted to touch the topic in here in our podcast. So the digitalization usually like means, and the lot of people are afraid that you will lose the connection between the people. And your experience is a great one, the onboarding, when the virtual reality actually enables to create the connectivity. So, but in general, in some other digitalization, how do you see how we can actually keep the human touch in those projects and processes, what we are doing in HR?
I think it will be important to use AI to streamline your processes, but to ensure that there are points of human connection and a personalization as part of your processes, I think that's super important. And take the recruitment, for example. As I said before, I'm sure both parties would appreciate the human connection and relationship throughout the recruitment process. And as a recruiter, you get more personal connections to candidate when using video interviews. And for candidates at some point, of course, you would like to meet the people actually working for the company, and that can never be replaced by only technology. And I would for sure not want to be hired to a company without a proper understanding of the people working there. So I think the same also goes for performance reviews. No matter how digitalized, supported your performance review process are, you definitely would like to have the human conversation with the manager on his or her feedback and the conversation about how you can further develop at the company or what you need to further improve. So what I do have seen and heard as an example is that companies that have implemented digitalization of their performance review processes or recognition programs, that is super important that you still have those touch points of the human connection. But in general, I would say that a few systems that I have looked at on the market right now, they are not providing that great digital experience in those processes either. So I still think we have a long way to go also digitalizing a great digital experience in our HR processes as well before we can even think of resolving the human connection in those.
Yeah, exactly. And you mentioned the customer service example. I think it's like we are learning on the go. We are testing out everything, and at the same time we have to like keep in mind some of the important factors, like the human approach in this process. Like you actually get the service that you are wanting to. A lot of digitalization is related with tools in the HR processes, and selecting the right tool for HR can be quite difficult. So maybe you have some good advice on how to make this decision more effectively for your organization.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I'm not an expert in this field, but I have seen some unfortunately failed system implementations, and the root causes for that is that I think you have not spent enough time on your pre-study outlining the purpose with the system and the tools, the needs that you have, and also the budget for the system, and also maybe what's your growth journey ahead. Are you a very small company today, but you have an aggressive growth ahead of you? Or are you sort of a stable company in your workforce volume at the moment? So I think all of those questions you need to have pre-answered. And then I think going then into choosing a system or a tool, it's super important that you define the selected user personas that you foresee and understand their interactions that they will have to have with the system and the needs that you would like to provide and solve for your personas. And then also discuss once again the user experience and the journey that you would like to create in the different HR processes that you have in scope for this particular tool or system? And what touch points will your personas then have in the tool or the system? And I think when you have outlined that, you can then more easily select the specific functionalities you need, and also what value for the users should it bring. Is it efficiency? Is it user experience? Is it self-service? And then, most importantly, you need to sort of define a few specific use cases that you try out on a few selected vendors before you select your final vendor for the tool or the system. Mm-hmm. So that is my very high level sort of learnings, but I am definitely not an expert in this field.
No, I think these are really good, like the things to start with, and you start even thinking of changing the system. It seems quite oftenly that the HR or everyone, like whoever in their department thinks of digitalization or that like trying to take some new tools, everyone thinks that one tool can solve all the problems. And now we have this project management tool, or now we have this another tool that helps us to overcome the maybe the processes that are not broken inside of the organization, or something else is broken as well. So it's not only the tool, but it's everything else around that as well. So thinking about like, so like a bigger picture, what do you want to cover with the tool or the digitalization, and what is the things that are nice to have or good to have but are not must that we need to cover?
Exactly.
Because you cannot you don't have this gigantic, maybe ChatGPT or like AI in the future have it, but currently I haven't seen this magical tool that solves all the problems in the world.
And I think it's even if you have the tool, it's still used by humans, so if they are not motivated or don't have the skills to use it, you may have a useless tool in the end.
Yeah, and then I also think many companies goes wrong where they do this internally only then within HR or within finance. They don't invite the personas that they have identified as selected users into sort of the use cases or mapping up the experience and the needs. So you are sort of taking that analysis on yourself internally as a function instead of bringing those voices into the project.
But do you have any plans to integrate it to your HR policies, strategies in the future? Do you like already discuss those topics inside of your organization?
Yeah, definitely. So our organization is talking a lot about AI, how AI can enable our business efficiency. And if I'm going to be super honest and transparent, from my people team and including myself, we still feel that we don't fully understand the potential of AI. So we actually have in our HR strategy for this year that we need to get into the driver's seat of understanding AI, the opportunities for AI, not only for us internally within HR and our processes, but also what it can actually mean for the business, so that we can more successfully facilitate those conversations in the organization and when the business is discussing it. But we have been very stressed about this, and we need to take responsibility to truly understand it. So that is the plan for not only myself, but also for my team and my people function to have that focus during 2024.
Anna, thank you for being so transparent with it, that you actually don't have it or use it already, because I think it's like, it feels like everybody are already using it and doing it, but there are I believe that most of people are in the same phase that you are. So maybe can you open a little bit? What is this plan look like? Like you mentioned that this is yearly goal to understand the potential. So a little bit to open that as well for us.
But we're trying to explore more about ChatGPT, for example. I was myself a quite late bloomer using ChatGPT, but now I actually use it daily. Instead of Googling things, I ask ChatGPT. And when we were working on our people strategy for 2024, just a few weeks back, we actually asked ChatGPT as well to have that benchmark of what we were thinking and what ChatGPT was thinking should be a great HR strategy based on where we are right now. So, that is the first thing that we are exploring. We are trying to use it as much as possible. Of course, with a disclaimer that we can't ask ChatGPT things that involve company data or naming our company name, because the generative AI as ChatGPT is based on, they are learning from what you're actually putting into it. So there you need to be very mindful. But more general questions, we are exploring and chatting with ChatGPT on a daily basis, more or less. And then we have set as an ambition that we would like to go into a more HR training for what AI can mean for HR. And there is a great guy in Sweden, Johannes Sundlo, that is really onto this topic in a really cool way. And he's himself working as an HR business partner. So he has built this AI training that we are going into now. Maybe that's, I can't say that because maybe it's branding of him. I don't know. But so that is what we are exploring as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, really great that you brought out that some of the limitations that, for example, ChatGPT has. But interesting to know, is there anything else? Like you're working in a big corporation and it's so much different to start using some other tool and implementing something. Do you have any other limitations that you have to consider before even like thinking applying AI into your work?
We have a tight dialogue with IT, of course. And as I said, we are not allowed to use ChatGPT for work-related questions, more only sort of general questions. But then we are, as a company, really supportive of generative AI. So we are looking into how we can bring a safe generative AI tool into our systems. Together with Microsoft and their solutions they have.
Mm-hmm. Great. I think we are now coming to the end of the podcast. And we, as in Talent Hub podcast, we have traditionally last questions that we are using from asking from all of the guests. And we have also two questions for you. So really quick ones. Who is the person who inspires you?
I was thinking a lot about that question, and I don't have a particular person that inspires me, but I am very inspired by people who dares to go for their dreams. And then I have a few of those, both in my business networks, but also among friends. And I'm truly inspired by people who have a dream to work hard for it and dare to take risk to reach their goals.
And the other question is, please give one reading or listening recommendation to our listeners.
If you would like to learn more about AI in the field of HR, I truly recommend to follow this guy, Johannes Sundlo, on Full Stack HR, who's also building this HR training in AI. I have learned a lot from him and his weekly newsletters and webinars.
That's a good tip. I'm definitely going to follow him now. And we have a bonus question for you as well. As you're coming to Estonia to our Para conference, what are your expectations to that conference?
As I said in the beginning, I'm a very curious person and I love networking. So I'm truly looking forward to mingle with all the participants, to learn more from what's cooking in Estonia, and what's top of your head right now in the field of HR in Estonia. And I guess it will be quite similar to what's cooking in Sweden as well. But truly looking forward to coming back to Estonia again.
Very cool. And Anna, definitely we are looking forward to have you in Estonia. Thank you for sharing your stories. Thank you for sharing the ideas of digitalization and AI. And I'm very excited to catch up with you when you're coming to Estonia.
Yes. See you there.